Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 16. In verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you may have peace." Young people, the most important thing that you have, whether you realize it or not, but this is the truth of the matter. The most important thing that you have, the most valuable thing that exists, is the Word of God. Nothing in the world is as important as the Word of God. Nothing in your life is as important and as valuable as the Word of God. Even money is not as valuable as the Word of God. Jesus esteemed, thought of the Word of God more highly than he thought of himself. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the Word of God is more important than anything we consider necessary. You may think the money that you make or have later on in life or friends or whatever is more necessary. No, it's not more necessary. The most important thing in your life is the Word of God, because the Word of God is from eternity into time, into your life now, and it will carry on when you go into heaven, when you are in eternity. And it becomes the very source of the quality of your life. It gives you life in eternity, and it gives you quality of life both here and in eternity. The Word of God is the most important thing that you have, and he gives it to us that we may have peace. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you may have peace." What did he speak unto us? In John 14:2, he says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." Now, I'm dealing with the context of what he was saying when he was saying it. In his Father's house, that is God the Father, in his house, and all of heaven is considered God's house. So in heaven there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So this is our assurance that in heaven there are many mansions, because Jesus would have told us if it was different than that. And then he continues, "I go to prepare a place for you." Young people, God is preparing a mansion for you in heaven. He's not preparing a shack. He's not preparing a room for you. He's preparing an entire mansion for you. And he continues in verse 3, "And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." God is always going to keep you with him. God is always going to be faithful to you, and he'll keep being faithful to you, because his desire is to be with you. In John 10:28-29, nobody can take you away from God. Not even remotely possible. This is the first major thing that he said in that discourse of the things that give us peace. Number one, we have a mansion in heaven. He prepares it for us. That means we have a place with God. We have acceptance with God. We have a place that cannot be taken away from us. And we have belonging with God. We belong. Sometimes people don't feel like they belong here in their community or in their school or at work or with the people that they're with. They don't have the sense of belonging. In heaven, you belong. With God, you belong. He calls you his own. He calls you his beloved. He says you're accepted by him. You belong. The second thing he gives us is in John 16:13. Now, he says more than this, but these are the main points. "When the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you in all truth. You never have to be anxious about what you will do or what you will say, or what decisions are the right decisions. He gives you promises. He says in Proverbs 3:5, if you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll direct your path. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, will guide you in all truth. Truth is the Word of God in John 17:17. So not only does He guide you in the ways that you should go, but He also makes sure that those ways are according to the Word of God, which is definitely your great desire. That is key. We want our ways to be according to the Word of God because those are the ways that are successful. Those are the ways that work. Those are the ways that benefit us. Those are the ways that result in eternal rewards. The Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. In all details of your life. Nothing too big, nothing too small. Not for the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter what the detail is. If you ask Him, He will guide you. Simple as that. If you ask Him, He will guide you. And then it continues, He will not speak on His own authority, but what He hears, and that is to say, what He hears from the Father, He will speak. And He'll tell you the things to come. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have this great, amazing gift of prophecy about what's happening in the world. No, it just means that He's going to keep you prepared and informed and guide you through the details of your life. In other words, He knows what's coming in your life. He may give you some guidance about it ahead of time, but when it comes, He will most definitely walk with you through it. Good things, bad things, it doesn't matter. He'll walk with you in all of it. He'll take you through all of it. In Isaiah 43, He takes you by the hand and He guides you. You never have to be anxious about your decisions. The Holy Spirit will cause you to make the right decisions so long as you ask Him. Sometimes people will ask the Holy Spirit and they expect a voice to come and say, "This is what you do." That can happen. It usually doesn't happen that way. Usually what He does is He causes you to make the right choices. It's amazing how well that works. I've never seen a time in my life where in myself I didn't know what the right decision is, but I asked the Holy Spirit to cause me to make the right decision. I've never seen a time when that wasn't the right decision. When I didn't look back and say, "Wow, that was definitely the right thing to do," not having known ahead of time what the potential results were of different choices. But then sometimes you get this amazing hindsight and you look back and you say, "Wow, I'm really glad I did that and not this other thing," even though when I was making the decision, I had no idea. The Holy Spirit is extremely faithful to do that. He's also the most underused resource that we have as human beings. Do not allow the Holy Spirit to be underused in your life. I don't care how big or small the detail. In everything, acknowledge Him. That is to say, in everything, ask Him to cause you to make the right choices, and He promises that He will. That will become a great source of comfort and security for you. There are times, especially times where you don't have anything you can look at or touch, that you say, "Wow, this is really working in my favor right now. But I know that I asked God, and so I know the choice was right." And once you get through that darker time, you realize at the end, when you look back at things, wow, that was the right choice, even though I had to go through a dark time. Often the dark time is the place where you really find great results with God. Then he also says in John 16:23, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This causes us great peace. That whatever I ask the Father in his name, that means when I live in the Word of God and the character of God is built into me, that's what it means in his name. I live in the Word of God and I possess the character of God. When that is the case, whatever I ask him, he'll give it to me. In John 15:7, if I abide in him and his words abide in me, now me abiding in him actually means, because of 1 John 4:8, I abide in his love. So when I keep myself in the love of God, and the primary way that I do that in Jude 21 is to look for his mercy, look for his patience and kindness. When I do that, and I have his words in my thinking, I have Bible in my thinking, then I can ask whatever I desire, and it'll be done for me. Why? Because I'm already keeping myself in the love of God, so I have the right attitude. And I'm already keeping the Word of God in my thinking, so I have the right thought and the right mindset. I can ask anything of God and He'll do it. Some people say, well, I can ask anything of God at any time for any reason, no matter what condition I'm in, and He'll do it. And then they get a little bit disappointed because it doesn't work that way. No, He will do what you ask, but you need to keep yourself in the love of God, and you need to keep the Word of God in your thinking. And then, yes, whatever you ask, He'll do it. And the last major point in that part of his speaking is in John 16:27. He says, the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. The Father loves you. There is such tremendous joy and peace in keeping that in my frame of reference, in keeping that in the forefront of my mind, that the Father loves us. Young people, wake up in the morning with this realization. God loves you specifically, not generally, specifically you. God cares about specifically you. God takes care of specifically you. He's very concerned with you. You have God's undivided attention all the time. You do. Keep that in your thinking. That will cause great joy and great peace. And it's going to be a tremendous help to you in everything. Now, going back to John 16:33, in the second part of that verse, he says, in the world, you will have tribulation. Now, tribulation can mean the common troubles that people have. Some people try to say this is the great tribulation. No, it's not. It's in the original language, normal, everyday kind of problems that are commonly faced by all people. Being a Christian does not take away problems. Being a Christian does not change the fact that you are a human being living in the world. You will have some problems. You will have some testings. You'll also, in Ecclesiastes 3:1-10, have some very good times. But you will have some times when you're tested. You will have some times that are tough. And you will have some times that are wonderful. But in the tough times, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Even when your times are difficult, don't lose your joy. Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome whatever it is that is causing you your problems in the world. Whether it's your own thinking, whether it's some kind of a circumstance, whether it's something somebody is doing to you, whatever it is, it doesn't matter how big or small, Jesus has overcome the world. In 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God, no matter what the world throws at you, you are the ones who are born of God. You are the Christians. You are born again. You are the saved people. Because you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are born of God and you overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Believing the Word of God overcomes all problems. Believing the Word of God overcomes any situation that you are challenged with. Believing the Word of God is what protects you and keeps you walking right with God, even when things are good as well as when things are bad. This is what makes us to win. When we believe the Word of God, that's when we overcome. Young people, please remember this for the rest of your lives. The only way to lose with God is to quit on God. The only way to lose is quit. If you do not quit being faithful to the Word of God, being faithful to the things of God, you cannot lose. This is what overcomes the world, our faith. If you do not quit trusting God, you cannot lose. If you do not quit walking with God, you cannot lose. If you do not quit believing the Word of God, you cannot lose. Now, I'm not saying that you may not lose a game or lose a job. I'm saying that in life as a whole, the only way to lose is to quit when you have a life with God. God makes sure that we don't lose. You know what? With God, we win. You want to win? Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to the Word of God. That's how you win. Young people, we win. No matter what happens, we always win. Why? We believe God. That's why. God is the one who makes us win. He has overcome the world, and our faith overcomes the world because our faith is what ties us to Him. In Matthew 19:26, what is impossible with men is not impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. For people, some things are impossible. Yep, some things really are, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Don't ever allow yourself to think that your situation is impossible for you. That you cannot win in the situation that has taken place. All things are possible with God. With people, no. With God, absolutely. So as long as you are true to God, as long as you are faithful to God, as long as you keep believing the Word of God and you keep walking and making choices in your life according to the Word of God, all things are possible for you. In Matthew 9:23, if you can believe, that is to say, if you operate in faith, all things are possible to him that believes. Because It's not us that does it. It's God who does it. And because all things are possible for God, all things are possible for us. In John 15:5, without Him we can do nothing, but in Christ we can do everything. Nothing is impossible for the person who has God in their life. Nothing is impossible for the person who trusts Him. This is why the only way to lose with God is to quit. Because as long as I don't quit, nothing is impossible. I can't help but to win. You win, young people. You win. So long as you are true to God, so long as you are faithful to God, so long as you stay trusting the Word of God, there's absolutely nothing on earth that can take place where you don't win. You will always win when you are faithful to God. In Romans 8:37, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Why? Because He loves us. He has all power. He has all knowledge. He's everywhere present. There's absolutely nothing that is impossible for Him. He created the universe. He holds our atoms together. And He loves us. We can't lose because He causes us to win. It's Him that does the work. We enjoy the ride. But He's the one who's actually doing it. In 2 Chronicles 20:17, when something comes against us, and we have a difficult situation or we have a battle of some sort on our hands, it doesn't necessarily have to be outward or violent, but just a difficult situation that we have to battle through, He says, you will not need to fight this battle. He says, position yourselves. In other words, do what you need to do responsibly. Do what you need to do to take care of yourself, your family, to be responsible. But you will not need to fight your battles. Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord who is with you. I've seen this happen many times in my own life. Many believers have seen this happen in their lives also. And it will happen in your life too. You get in a situation. It may be your fault. It may not be your fault. It doesn't make any difference if it's your fault or not. You get in a situation and you can't see your way through it, or it's a bad situation and you don't know how to get out of it. Don't worry. Don't worry. God will fight your battle. Don't worry. Sometimes people say, well, I caused this situation. I'm the problem in the situation, and because I caused it, I don't know that God will fight on my behalf. It's very simple. Say to God, God, I caused this situation. That's the 1 John 1:9 principle. It may be sin, it may not be sin. But either way, come to God. God, this was my mistake. I made this mistake. I caused this situation. And because everything in our life is about grace, it doesn't matter that we caused the situation. Sometimes other people cause the situation. Sometimes the situation just crops up. Nobody's really at fault. It just happens. It doesn't matter if you caused it or somebody else caused it or it just happened and nobody caused it. God says you will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself. Do what you need to do. Do what you do to be responsible. But then stand still. Don't be anxious. Don't try to manipulate things. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to say to yourself, well, if I just do this, don't try to go into something underhanded. Don't do any of those things. Just stand still. and watch God deliver you. It works. It really does. It works. It's worked for me. It's worked for many people many times over. It always works. Say to God, God, I'm in this situation. If you caused the situation, tell him, God, I caused this situation. If you didn't, then tell him whatever else you need to tell him. And they say, God, help me in this situation. And you know what? He really does. He actually comes through for you in a very big way. He'll never let you down. And then he continues, do not fear or be dismayed. Dismayed is discouraged. Don't fear. Don't be discouraged. Don't be upset. Don't worry about it. Don't get anxious. Tomorrow, go out against them. That is, if you have to be there tomorrow to deal with the situation, if you have to be there today, doesn't matter when. Don't try to escape it. Walk right through it. Because the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Holy Spirit makes His home in you. He loves you. He accepts you just as you are. He knew from before you were born exactly all the details that would happen in your life, and it doesn't surprise Him at all, and it doesn't disturb Him at all. It doesn't bother Him at all. He knew it all. And He loves you, knowing everything about you. He loves you. In Zechariah 14:3, the Lord will go forth and fight for you. He always fights for you in the day of battle. He always fights for you when there's a problem. He always fights for you when somebody comes against you. Sometimes people say, you know, the person that I'm having trouble with or the situation that I'm in that's difficult, well, that's dealing with other Christians. How do I know God will fight for me and that He won't instead fight for the other person against me? It's like this. What kingdom are you siding with? I'm not asking, did you make a mistake, did you sin, or anything like that. I'm asking, what kingdom are you siding with? One of the surest ways to know what kingdom you're siding with, or what kingdom something comes from, is where is the accusation taking place? Difficult situations often come with accusations. Any place that is the source of a negative accusation, in other words, you're not getting credit, you're getting blamed. You're not getting help, you're getting trouble. You're not being uplifted, you're being taken down. In Revelation 12:10, those are evidence that Satan's kingdom is at work. Yes, even a Christian can operate in Satan's kingdom if they're not going to be right with the Word of God. If you're not sure if God's going to be on your side and another Christian is the one opposing you, ask yourself, who is functioning in which kingdom? As long as you are functioning in the kingdom of God, in other words, as long as you are applying the Word of God as best as you're able, and if you messed it up and you didn't apply it for a little while and you sinned or you caused negativity, but you tell God about it because He's faithful and just to forgive you, if you did that and now you are applying the Word of God, even though when you didn't apply the Word of God, that caused the problem, doesn't matter. As long as right now you are functioning in the Word of God, God will fight for you because you are functioning in the right kingdom. If you are somebody who is an accuser, who would try to harm people because of some kind of a mistake, who would try to take people down just because they are your competition or whatever it is, something negative like that, I got news for you. If that's you, then you are operating in Satan's kingdom. Whether you like it or not, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, love one another. So even if somebody makes a mistake, we don't try to criticize them, or we don't try to talk about their mistakes. We don't accuse them of their mistakes. We love them in their mistakes. That is operating in the right kingdom. Young people, you win. Because you live in faith, you win. The only way to lose is quit. That is to say, stop using faith. Stop trusting God. Walk away from Him. That's the way to lose. But if you stay true to Him, if you stay faithful, absolutely 100%, you will always win. You cannot lose with God. You guys understand that? All right, that's it for today.